Thank you, Jim. My name is Ryan. I am an alcoholic. Thank you for having me on. I've come to this group a couple times. Great group. Honored to be asked to speak. First of all, I gotta thank you guys for asking me to speak from my apartment on Zoom. I didn't realize I could blur my background, but this finally gave me a reason to take down my Christmas decorations in my living room. It's been a month, so glad that had that impetus. Also, I'm realizing how a higher power works sometimes, where my car being in the shop that day ultimately led to one thing to another, to me getting to know Jim, getting to know someone else involved in service. So grateful for that, even though I think I got fleeced by the mechanic on that issue. But grateful to be here for it. So my sobriety date is November 1st, 2021. I'm a little over 3 months or 3 years sober. My home group is the Gatehouse group, Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, at 2 Nottingham. Come on by. It's a pretty big meeting, but great sobriety there. All right, let's get into my story. So I am from Hamburg, New York. I grew up in the village of Hamburg. Grew up with a very supportive, loving family. The idea of alcoholism was not really ever talked about in my family. I'm the oldest male in my family, and at least in the immediate area. And the idea of drinking problems in my family was always hinted at, that there was drinking problems in like my past family, like uncles, cousins, all that. But I didn't really it wasn't really talked about. There was fear around it. There was fear in talking about it. So we didn't talk about any alcoholism or drinking. So I grew up thinking that we were a bunch of normal drinkers, not really realizing that a lot of the reason that some of my family chose not to drink was they knew that alcoholism existed in my family, but I didn't really know that. So I did grow up with this family that was extremely loving, always there. But I did have this kind of pit in my stomach always, and this fear. Never really knowing what that was, never really knowing, having any explanation for it, not really ever finding any explanation for it. And then, so moved around a lot as a kid, ended up settling in the village of Hamburg. And when I was about 15, that's when I discovered drinking. And it took away that feeling, that pit, that despair feeling that I had. At first, it was just drinking in the woods with friends, as a lot of people do. We had our couple wood spots that we would hide the beers in. Today would be a perfect day to bury a 30 in the snow. And then it's like a built-in cooler. And drinking for me became the thing that I could always look forward to. So I took school very seriously. I don't know, I took my life very seriously, putting a lot of pressure on myself. But drinking was always the thing that I could look forward to. It was my relief. It was, I wouldn't drink every day, but knowing that drinking was always there on a weekend or any in my time that I could afford it, it became the thing that I could look forward to. And I'm finding in sobriety that having something to look forward to is a really helpful way for me to get through days that are tough and manageable. And early sobriety, it was so hard because I didn't have anything to look forward to. I didn't have the drink there anymore. So one day at a time became very hard for me in sobriety. But so drinking in high school, it was the thing I would look forward to. But I was also very sociable. I had a lot of friends, very friendly, but always just this deep underlying feeling that nothing could take away except for drinking. And when I did drink, it was to black out. It was to go all the way. I still remember the first time that I got like a nice buzz from drinking and like loving it. And it's shocking to me that I still remember it, but I still remember it because that's what I was chasing then for the rest of my drinking career. There was this one little buzz that was like this, like, ooh, that's nice, that's the sweet spot. And then from then on, it was that's what I wanted to get, and I would overshoot it every single time because I wouldn't stop drinking until I got that good feeling back, and that good feeling was not there anymore. My drinking became the thing that I was chasing that kind of warm, comfortable feeling with. So like I said before, I was good at making, I was friendly, I could make friends, but the friends that I would really bond with, or the ones that I really spent the most of my times with, were the friends that would help me get to drinking, or that would pursue drinking. Drinking became the thing I would pursue, and I would leave other friends behind if it meant that I could go drink. So like I said, I put a lot of pressure on myself otherwise when I wasn't drinking. So I worked very hard in school, went to Binghamton University, tried to major in the most difficult thing I could, which was mechanical engineering. Also at the time, that was what I kind of the best guarantee to get a job. So even with this difficult time that I was having in school, studying and all that, I still sought out the group of people that was drinking the most that could give me that relief. I was not interested in finding any really hobbies or finding anything to kind of ease my or for ease. It was okay, I want to, the work hard, play hard became kind of my motto of to spend as much time as I could or do what I could to get good grades so that I could get a good job, make a lot of money, and pushing myself to do that as hard as I could. And then my relief from that would be to drink as much as I could and to kind of and ended up being blacking out a couple times a week. And these blackouts were always pretty bad, where I would be in my normal class schedule during the week and have someone come up to me and say, "Hey, I saw you wandering around the bar by yourself last weekend." And to me, these blackouts were so early and so common that, and I was amongst people that had the same kind of mentality that it just became normal to me. It didn't occur to me that I didn't know how to stop drinking. It didn't occur to me that I didn't know how to, that drinking was the only thing that, and a blackout was the only thing that would kind of stop me, was just going all the way to the end. So I had a couple instances where I was picked up by the police. Once when I was at home in Buffalo, brought to my parents' house. Another time, I was brought to the hospital. And I say brought to because I was literally just a bag of bones that the police picked up, put in the back of the car, and shipped to wherever I needed to go. I somehow managed to not be arrested in these instances, but it was, I got very good at, being in denial about how scared I should be about these instances and thinking that these were just blips. These are just things that happen. This is just part of life. People black out because drinking does that to you. And I wasn't going to give up drinking. That was my life. That was the only thing I had to look forward to every week. So there's no way that I was going to give that up. Maybe I would take like a couple days off or take like a week off. But and thinking that if I was able to take a week off, then okay, I am cured now. That's good. So, college, that became the run of the kind of the whole story for me for all 4 years in Binghamton was drinking as much as I could on weekends, probably 3 or 4 nights a week, and filling in the rest of that with working as hard as I could. After college, I got into my head that I really wanted to travel a lot. And using work as a means to do that, I was extremely fortunate enough. And this is part of the thing that I've realized in sobriety, that God had always been giving me extremely great opportunities, a great life, a great family, great friends, great opportunities to travel, great opportunities to work. And I could not see them and I could not appreciate them because the drinking was clouding everything. That was what I was pursuing. I look back and see that I still have, but always had so much to be grateful for. But I was always convinced that there was more, that I had to get more. I had to get a better job. I had to get better friends. I have to make more money. I have to do more. That nothing is enough. And the drinking kind of propelled me through all these things, and I was never able to see any sense of gratitude. So I was fortunate enough to travel around to Korea for work, and then I spent 6 months in Orlando and then Houston. And I was in Charlotte for a few years. And throughout all these places that I realized now these were geographic heres where I would get myself into situations with my blackouts that I was a liability to my friends. I still had this kind of way of making new friends, but I was a liability to everybody around me, and I could get that sense. So I would have just this habit of, okay, I'm going to jump ship and go to the next friend group. And that really happened a lot until in Charlotte. My drinking, and my just not just my drinking, but my sense of not being grateful and my lack of gratitude. I wasn't close with anybody. I would have a lot of friends and be surrounded by people, but just be in pure isolation by myself. And I so then I decided that I wanted to do the big thing, which was move to New York City, which was the big thing for me. And to me, New York represented power, money, the thing I could brag to people about that I was living there, and a great place to drink. And my time in New York was with the company that I could spend all my time working for, and that's what I told myself I was going for, but also with a company that I could drink with everybody fairly often and get myself into pretty bad blackouts after work, going home with my coworkers, waking up in bed with my women coworkers, and thinking that this was just part of life, this is normal. And ultimately, sometimes being confronted by friends and coworkers that, not that my drinking was concerning them, but that I was just not being a good friend. And when I was told by someone that I wasn't being a good friend, it was okay, I guess I'll just find a new friend. Or I don't need this friend. I was never approached with concern about my drinking because I would never allow anyone to get close enough to be concerned about my drinking. So it wasn't until COVID hit New York. I was about to move in with a girlfriend that I had in New York that, and we were, I went to her parents' house in Vermont during COVID when it hit. I was drinking every day, still decided that I wanted to move in with this woman. And then when it came time to sign the lease or sign, we were looking at apartments, I had this kind of moment of clarity for kind of the first one that I had had in a long time of just something is wrong. Like I cannot pursue this relationship. Not thinking of what, never looking at my drinking, but just thinking that I, something is wrong that has to be looked at. And ultimately, so kind of just leaving the relationship in those kind of terms. And it was a really bad way to leave a relationship like that. But I ended up moving back to the Buffalo area. Knowing that something was wrong, but always refusing to think that the drinking had anything to do with it or to talk to anybody about the drinking. Went to therapy for a little bit, remotely. I was living with my parents in Hamburg at the time. When the world kind of opened back up after COVID, I had this idea of like, all right, life's back. Drinking, I can go out and that COVID was the reason that I was drinking so much in the house. Now that COVID's over, now all that fear is gone. Now I can just drink like a normal person. Forgetting, and because I never added up how bad my drinking was, that as soon as the world opened back up, I was out there. I went to a friend's bachelor party in Key West and woke up in a field, surrounded by wild chickens. And looking around, surrounded by that was the first moment that like I really was like, drinking's not funny anymore. This is not just a normal thing. Like I am by myself in a field in the most southern part of this country, surrounded by just chickens. And I had always been able to laugh off like a bad blackout like that to wake up and like, oh man, that was crazy. This was the first time that I had been like, oh my God, something's really, really wrong here with this drinking. And, but because I had this idea in my head, kind of to not talk about alcoholism, and I think it was kind of the way I was raised, or to not talk about my drinking problem, I still wouldn't tell anyone about the drinking. So I was scared shitless about drinking. Like I wouldn't touch a drink for a couple months. But telling, not really telling anybody why, just being scared of what could and would happen. And kind of dodging drinking, dodging going out to bars or anything. And so I was trying to quit drinking without telling anyone that it was a drinking, that it was a problem. And it was just a terrible headspace to be in. So I in November of 2021 is when I set down a drink, telling everyone around me, this is, I'm just doing like a dry month, dry November or whatever. It was, I think it was November. But knowing in the back of my head that I am terrified of what could and would happen if I ever touch a drink again. But trying to present, I was always presenting that I'm just going through some stuff. I'm just going through some mental health stuff. Once I get that sorted out, everything will be fine. I'm going to get a good job. Everything's going to be okay. So always trying to put on this front of having my act together when I absolutely did not have my act together. And everyone around me knew I did not have my act together. Could barely hold any friendships. Relationships or anything. And sorry, lost my train of thought. So after setting down the drink for about a month, that's when I kind of had this train of memories get unblocked of how bad my drinking had been for the past 15 years. I could never look at my drinking because I was always drinking to cut off any memory of it. Like I needed some space and some time away from drinking to actually look at it. And so setting down the drink for a month under the guise of that I'm just doing this to kind of for my health or whatever, it just filled me with so much fear to look back and to have this these feelings like, what is my life? What have like I've been blacking out for 15 years. I can't maintain any friendships. I have many friends that I just can't get close with because I will inevitably black out and do something stupid and ruin it. So I had this like moment of like terror and fear, but kept it to myself. Moved into the city of Buffalo and thought that I had to, the only way that I could get over all this was to just get my act together. So for a year, I went with the Greenland ice cap method of just avoiding drinking wherever it was. And I was miserable. I couldn't make any friends. I couldn't do anything. I was just sitting in my apartment, working from home, dissociating, refusing to admit that I had a drinking problem, thinking that I just needed hobbies. So one of the hobbies that I tried pottery. And I'm on the pottery wheel and my hands are shaking. Like I can't do the pottery wheel because I'm just so anxious. And it had been probably a few months since I quit drinking. And the pottery instructor is looking at my hands and she's like, why, what is wrong with you? And I kind of broke down and talked to her about the drinking thing. And she goes, the 12 steps really helped me with that. And that's when I was like, that was the first time that I had heard, I was like, that I'd actually listened to something about AA or alcoholism or the 12 steps. And I had this like an immediate like block to it. It was the first time that I had heard them be like, oh, what is that? How can that help with what you're talking about? She put me in touch with a couple other friends that had been in the program. The one guy gave me a big book the second time I ever saw him. And the big book was then in my apartment, kind of like I had only been to one meeting and I had this big book in my apartment. I was still refusing to believe I was an alcoholic. And the big book would just follow me around my apartment where I would open it up to a story and just be terrified of how much I identified with it. Because it was my story. I would usually read the stories in the back just about the deep fear that people had and just this terror, the cunning, baffling, powerful, the four horsemen of the apocalypse type descriptions of alcoholism. And I identified so much with it and it terrified me. So initially I came into AA and so I started coming into meetings thinking like maybe this is something that can help me with this. I because I hadn't drank in a couple months, I was convinced that like I had the drinking beat, but maybe the AA can help me with all this other fear stuff. And it wasn't until I went through the book and talked with people that I realized that they were one and the same, that the drinking and the fear and the terror was all one and the same thing, and that I couldn't avoid drinking. And I couldn't live with it, couldn't live without it. So coming into AA, yeah, I was initially antagonistic and but about the whole thing. But then sitting down at Rise and Shine down the street from me, which thank God I moved into this apartment down the street from a meeting that was meeting every day in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. The first thing that kind of gave me some relief was sitting down and seeing the phrases up on the board. The keep it simple, easy does it, live and let live, first things first. Just those little phrases to me, because my brain was rattling too much to read the steps. The steps were like there was too many words there for me to comprehend what was going on there. But these little phrases were really just calming to me. And so I sitting at Rise and Shine, There was a sponsor that I knew from, there was a guy in the group that I knew from elsewhere. One of them, it was a another recovery group in the area, more, it was a meditation Buddhist based recovery group. And he was also going to meditation groups around the area. And meditation was something that, it was the only thing that really got me through all my drinking years, like to not absolutely lose my mind, was that I could come back to meditation. So that was the first thing I grasped onto, was seeing the word meditation in the steps, kind of made me think, oh, maybe this is something that I can tether myself to, because it's worked so far for me before. The word God did freak me out when I first came in. I grew up Catholic. I think, like a lot of people, had kind of a got a little wayward from Catholicism for a bit. For and then so then I identified with the word agnostic, and I think I identified with the word agnostic just because I thought it sounded fancier than saying atheist. I thought it made me sound smarter and more sophisticated. So coming into AA, the word God freaked me out. But I was willing to give some of the other things a shot. I was willing to come in, just be around people for support, be around, or and then just to be around it and to be around the fellowship. And the fellowship's the first thing that hooked me in, where it was people that were willing to help, people that were willing to talk, people that were willing to listen, every single day, and that it was available every single day. I thank God that I landed in this in the buff in Buffalo, where there are plenty of meetings around every single day, especially on the west side of Buffalo. So every day I could show up and find help. And I did end up asking the guy from those meditation groups to be my sponsor, and we got to work immediately, on the steps, going through the steps out of the 12 and 12. And after after going through the first step for me was walking into AA and admitting that I can't do this. I need everybody here. Steps two and three for me kind of came over the course of the next, probably took me a couple of months to really let those steps sink in, that I had been brought to AA. I didn't choose to come in here. I had been brought here by something else, by something bigger than me. And that path to something bigger than me was laid out before me. I had tools laid out before me to do that. Went through fourth and fifth step with the sponsor and got immediate relief. Started to see kind of the wreckage that I had, just this trail of non-gratitude, this trail of leaving people behind, treating people like garbage. Also, this sense of realizing how amazing life in general is, but how much I had been given in my life specifically, and how much I had to be grateful for with family and friends. And so went through the rest of the steps with my sponsor. He took me through them. Going through my amends, I had some hiccups. I thought I was very, it took me a little bit to realize to slow down. I tried going through the steps and everything as quickly as possible. My mentality at first was, all right, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to do these steps, I'm going to recover, and then I'm going to be one of those guys that goes to one meeting every a couple of weeks because I don't need it. That was not the case, is not the case. I don't know if it ever will be the case. I had to really, really slow down. And kind of the reaction to some of my amends kind of taught me that I had one amend that it did not go well because I did not kind of, I kind of rushed into it. I approached a friend that was not ready to speak with me. And had I slowed down and kind of realized that, like, amends happen on God's time, not mine, which is what I'm learning now, that things go a lot better. So got through the steps, started sponsoring a couple guys. That was about a year ago. Got a home group. And this need to slow down with my recovery was really aided by all that AA has to offer. So getting a home group, getting a service position in my home group, as soon as I had 2 years of sobriety, it was like shortly after someone at my home group approached me to be a GSR, which scared me at first. But service has done so much for me in AA to slow me down. Service has done so much for me to teach me how to work with others, not just in a sponsorship type of way, but how to work with others, how to work as a team, how to work with others for something so much bigger than me, how to see that my life is not the only thing going on. There is this whole unity aspect. There's a much bigger picture than just my life, and it takes a lot of people to put that together. Service has been incredible for me to do that. And Jim, you said at the beginning that I just keep showing up to things, and I've found in my sobriety that that is what most of it is it's just showing up to meetings, showing up to meeting with my sponsor, showing up to a service position that I signed up for. But then also my amends, part of my amends, a big portion of my amends is just showing up when with for friends and showing up for family. I spent a lot of time overthinking, like, how much do I have to do in AA? What do I have to do? What do I have to be doing? And yeah, there is a lot to that. Like, there is a lot to do, but I can get into the weeds and thinking that I had to be performing in AA. And when really a lot of it is just showing up and doing what's asked of me and not thinking, not trying to outperform anybody. The fellowship in AA for me has been incredible. Being able to go out for dinner several times a week with a group of people that are all pursuing this lifestyle of or trying to pursue sobriety, it's been awesome. Being able to open up to a table of people about how bad my drinking was, being able to open up to a table of people about just what's going on with me. I know that recovery for me comes one-on-one with a sponsor to really get into what's going on with my resentments and my fears. But having the fellowship to kind of identify with all that and to kind of keep me tethered to this whole program it's been a godsend. My sense of spirituality is growing. I think that's hopefully that's always what I define it as. Lately, it's for me, it's been about finding stillness, and finding that God is there in everything. My current sponsor really stresses the phrase God is everything or God is nothing. And that phrase really helps me get through some really tough times, knowing that those tough times are still part of God. That I want God to just be the good stuff, and that if the good stuff's not happening, then something's wrong. But inevitably, I get through an argument with somebody or some instance of realizing that I did something wrong, and realizing that that was all part of my higher power kind of showing me. So now, for me, pursuing that stillness has been a big part of my spirituality, where I don't try to turn things up to the loudest level that I can. I wake up and I try to find quiet. Like right now, I am looking out my window at my bird feeders, That's like my favorite thing to do every morning is to just watch birds, which that's never anything that I in drinking had ever been. When I was drinking, I wanted things to be as loud and as fast as they possibly could. I wanted to go pedal to the metal. I wanted to be working hard. I wanted to be just running the show. I wanted things to be loud and fast. And now I'm realizing that I'm not the one running the show at all. It's my higher power. It's and I can give it up to my higher power. What else? The my home group and the unity aspect of AA has been great for me. My home group does a tradition study every month, and going through the traditions with my home group and with a sponsor was a great way for me to see how a group can work together. And it allowed me to see how to work in a group, how to exist, not just work in a group, but how to exist in a group, seeing that my opinion is not the right one all the time. How to respect other people's opinions, how to kind of just exist in peace with other people. And then I also went through the, I was brought through the concepts with a service sponsor. To learn just how does AA as a whole work? How does this organization that's kind of guided by a loving God, how does it work? And a big part of it for me is realizing that I can't move up in AA. I can't, there's no promotions in AA. Every organization that I've always been a part of, or every group that I've always tried to work for, I've always been pursuing, okay, how can I move up in this? How can I get the upper hand? That doesn't exist here. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to see that it's not me moving up. It's about existing in harmony with others. And so then on the subject of gratitude, for the past probably 6 months, and my sponsor's gotten me on this of pursuing the idea of routine. So in the morning, doing a gratitude list, in the evening, doing an inventory. And I am not the best at either of those things. I do them when I can, but having those things to kind of bring me through as guideposts for my day have been really helpful for my sobriety. I think that's all I got. So, thank you for asking me to speak. I really appreciate this group. I've been here once before and I'll be back. So, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.